So it is my privilege this morning to continue our wonderful journey that we've been on. And can you believe it's part five already? And it really has been a fantastic, fantastic journey. Firstly, understanding that we are all, whether we choose it or not, whether we like it or not, are in a spiritual battle of some sort. And it's often the closer we get to Jesus, the more we realize this and the more we feel this. But I also want to remind you that the closer you get to Jesus, actually, the more we understand that we fight from the top step of the podium and not just looking to get on to the podium. Then we've heard and we've discussed who the real enemy is in our lives and that he will use tactics and schemes and deception to do war against us. And then we know that Jesus, he didn't come just to give us happiness. He came so that he could bring about life, and life in absolute abundance. Fully liberated, as Errol said, fully free in Jesus, but fully reconciled to the Father as well. Whereas the thief, the enemy, only comes to try and rob us of this. And to be honest, he comes so that he can plunder our inheritance that we have in Jesus. And that is why we as the church, as a son, as a daughter of the Most High, are called to be able to stand and to stand firm, to be aware, because we have a very real adversary who is absolutely against us. But I want to say, through the Father's grace, I remind us that he has made provision for you and I to stand firm. And when Paul writes in Ephesians 6, he's not just writing to tell us that there is an enemy. He's not just writing to tell us that he uses schemes and tactics and methods. But he's actually writing to tell us, hey, do you know what? As a son and as a daughter now, there is armory that you and I get to put on that actually enables us to stand firm. Yes. Provision is there for me. Provision is there for you this morning. And that's where we are going to be heading this morning. And last week, we know that Brent kicked round one off, the armor of God off. And you know what? Having to preach off the back of your lead pastor doing part one is not the easiest task. And so what I'm looking to do this morning is not reinvent the wheel, but rather I want to reinforce exactly what he started off last week. And let's begin to unpack some more of God's armor. So we're going to read that beautiful passage of scripture out of Ephesians 6. Won't you, if you've got your Bible, I encourage you to read it out there. It might be a different translation, but otherwise, if you don't, please follow on the screen. Ephesians 6, 10, all the way down to 17. And it says this, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So a couple of key takeaways that I want to remind us about that we actually always want to be massaging in during this journey. Number one, Paul commands us. He says, be strong. But I love that he doesn't just leave us hanging there. He says, be strong, but he gives us the solution. He says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It then says, put on, and further on, it says, take up. I want to remind us that the responsibility will always lie with you and I to equip ourselves with the armor of God. We cannot rely on other people to equip us. It's our responsibility. It's not against flesh and blood. Maybe this morning it's time to release the mother-in-law. Maybe this morning it's time to release that nasty auntie or uncle or the boss this morning, because the battle is actually against, we know, spiritual forces at work. There are spiritual routines behind the boss. There are spiritual routines behind the auntie and the uncle. And I want to say there are spiritual routines behind you and behind me as well. And we need to be fully aware of this. But also, we cannot allow the pendulum to swing wildly out of control as well. where we begin to see there is a demon behind every bush and behind every flat tire. And because of all of this, verse 13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God. Now, when I think of armor, and I know Brent touched on this last week, I think heavy duty, blacksmith forged, kind of Russell Crowe, the 500, the gladiator kind of armor, right? Metal shield, helmet, this beautiful chrome sword, and if you're a little bit fancy, maybe some leather thrown in there as well. Even when I think of armory, when it comes to like a biblical context, you know, when I look at some of the biblical battles that were faced, I see Goliath standing there in his bronzed armor. Sunday school, as if you've been to Sunday school, you would know that we've probably heard this multiple times about the armor of God. And what's happened is Sunday school has only kind of reinforced this illusion of us having to dress up like this Roman soldier so that we can stand firm. The problem with this is, though, I don't really have access to a local blacksmith here in Richards Bay. And so I don't have a set of fully forged trousers or shirt or shoes, let alone a sword hiding out in my cupboard that I can equip myself daily with. But what I do have access to, what we have access to, is to a God, is to a Father who sent his Son to the cross so that he could become the very armor that we get to put on and take up daily. If you remember the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel, you know that just before David went out to battle, this massive giant, King Saul, obviously feeling horrendously sad for this little guy, said to him, "Well, listen, here's my armor, why don't you put it on?" To which David politely refused, because what he realized, it wasn't that armor that was going to win the battle for him on that day, but it was actually the revelation of the God that he served that was going to win the battle on that day. And I think this picture was a foreshadow for you and I and what is to come with the spiritual giants that we will face as well in our lives and the armor that we get to choose to pick up and put on. Because our armor, guess what, is actually not some worldly forged, heavy duty, Russell Crowe armory, but rather it's our revelation of Jesus that will protect us. Romans 13 verse 14 says, "Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." Our true armor against the enemy's schemes, against his tactics, is actually choosing to clothe ourselves daily in our revelation of Jesus. How we live out this revelation, it's an active thing. How we choose to live it out determines how protected we are and how well we can stand firm. Amen? And for me, I want to say that this is actually the crux of them. This is the heart of the message between both these two messages, is this. If there's one thing you remember, is your revelation of Jesus is your armor against the enemy. So last week, Brent looked at the first three elements of the armor, and we're going to be looking at the next three elements today. So firstly, from verse 16, it says, "In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." Revelation 19:11 says this. It says, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True." Now that, as sons and daughters, you know that Jesus is now our faithful and true one who we now get to take up. And as we take him up, he not only blocks the arrows of the enemy, but what he does is he enables us to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one as well. And that word extinguish really jumped out as I was prepping. As I look back at my life and the few times, the good few times, that I've allowed unhelpful, ungodly things into my life, arrows of the enemy, to get a foothold in my life, to pierce me, to wound me, they didn't just end up wounding me, but what they did was they also ignited something in my life which had direct ramifications on those people around me as well. See, no amount of cleverness, no amount of grit, no amount of determination from my side seemed to extinguish what was now seemingly a bit of a blaze in my life. And that is what the enemy wants to do through these arrows. As much as they are designed to harm us, they are also designed to harm those around us as well, those closest to us, should we choose not to take up Jesus as our shield. Jesus is the faithful one who is true, who blocks and enables us to extinguish. The reality is, by ourselves, we will never be able to stand firm enough against the enemy. We will never be able to stand protected against his tactics through only our clever technique, as Quentin was saying. But we are only able to stand firm by living out a consistent confidence and trust in Jesus and his work on the cross. A living trust is confidence in God's reliability, which has actually been revealed to us through Christ. Therefore, I want to say that our shield that we get to take up every single day is not just merely some vague optimism, but actually what it is a settled certainty of protection in Jesus. It's not just based on what we carry around, but actually it's who we carry around that protects us. It is the finished work of Jesus and the confident trust in that. Flaming arrows are launched by the enemy, we know, to plant doubts, accusations, condemnation, shame, and temptations inside of us. These arrows aim to wound and ignite things in our lives that ultimately push us away from God and get us and others running away in a bit of a panic from him as well. So in defense, how do we practice taking up Jesus as our shield? Three quick ways. By actively choosing to trust in his word, to trust in his will, and to trust in his ways, as Quinton mentioned again. 1 Peter 2 verse 6 says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." We cannot be surprised when we discover a fault fire in our lives when we have chosen to simply ignore God's word, his will, and his ways. We need to actively trust to choose in his word, his will, and his way. That's how we get to take up our shield. Number two, by actively choosing to trust in his promises. And I feel the worship has answered most of my questions this morning. Remember that Jesus is faithful and true, friends, and that his promises are absolutely reliable. If he said it, can I say that you need to believe it then? Amen. Let's settle it once and for all. Let's not chop and change, deciding when and how we choose to believe what God said. If Jesus said it, believe it. Let's settle it today. And thirdly, how do we take up Jesus as our shield? By acting out in faith, not just acting over feelings or on feelings. As we have a shield of faith in Jesus, we too can now act out in faith, not only for ourselves, but for others as well. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 13 speaks about not causing others to stumble along their journey as well. In other words, do not set them alight. Do not ignite them as well. But rather be those who choose to make faithful daily decisions that enable them to choose to stand firm as well. We should be looking to back and build other people's faith as well. Our faith is absolutely one of our greatest gifts. It is the doorway to true hope, but I want to say it's also the activation of our shield of faith. Jesus lived out complete trust and faith in his Father while he was here on earth, and that enabled him to stand firm. Now through him, we get to do the same for ourselves and for others. Number two, we're called to take up the helmet of salvation. And this is an interesting one. Many of us, I know sitting here, have many, many debit orders that run off our accounts at the end of each month. And I just want to say it's not a fun time for me, but it's probably not a fun time for you either. However, I want to say some of those debit orders are a lot easier to swallow than others. For example, a house repayment. If you're paying off a house, yes, you would know it's a substantial amount of money. But you would also know you're kind of getting something for the money that you're paying out. It's generally a good investment, and you're covering your head at night. You're getting something in return for your bucks. Health insurance, on the other hand, and if you work in the health insurance, please, I'm not having a dig at you this morning. Health insurance policies are sometimes a little bit more difficult to stomach. Yep, they also quite a lot of money, a massive repayment actually, especially when you've got a small Salvation Army of kids running around at home. But you see, the problem why they're so difficult to stomach is you're paying all that money out for a maybe or a just in case. You don't really know if you'll ever get something for all that money that you're paying out. And when Jesus came down to the earth, when he walked in complete obedience to his Father, when he walked his Father's will, not his own, he did it just so, he didn't just do it so he could come and offer us insurance. He didn't do it so that he can offer us a maybe or a just in case. He did it so that he could offer us absolute assurance. It's a massive difference between insurance and assurance. In other words, Jesus has prepaid in full on your behalf for your salvation. It's assured. It's absolutely guaranteed in trust in him. Jesus is the very assurance of our salvation. He is the firm knowledge that as children of God, we are saved through grace and faith in him. When the enemy whispers, "Oh, Scott, you know what? You're actually pretty worthless. You're a failure. You'll never be good enough for God, Scott. Let's face it. Our helmet of salvation, Jesus, allows us to actually counter that with unshakable truth now that we have inside of us. Actually, no, I am a new creation in Christ, period, fact. Actually, no, my salvation is not based on my performance or how well I preach. Actually, it's based on the finished work of the cross. So as we take up our assurance, our salvation, Jesus, he enables us to do one, again, three things. He enables us to protect and renew our minds daily. We know that our minds are actually the main battlefield where the enemy chooses to do war with us. And he knows us, and his goal is always to control our thoughts, to fill our minds with lies, to plant seeds of deception and division inside of us. And it's often the outcomes of these wars in our minds that lead or dictate the paths of our lives. But Romans 12, 1-2 says, it calls us to renew our minds by allowing God's truth, his word, to wipe out anything opposed to this truth. Through Jesus, we now get to demolish all arguments and false claims that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we get to take captive every thought, and we get to make it obedient to Christ and his truth. Our minds are protected when we choose to hold on to God's unshakable truth over our lives and in our lives. Secondly, as we take up our assurance of salvation, he enables us to reject doubts that arise from our circumstances. If we allow them to, we know that circumstances will always quickly choose us or quickly cause us to doubt God's love for us, to doubt his truth, and to doubt his goodness. I want to remind us this morning, though, that doubt is actually the very enemy of faith. It is impossible to have faith and have doubt at the same time, Hebrews 11. We will either have doubt or we will have faith, but we cannot have both at the same time. While we are doubting, we leave ourselves susceptible to the enemy's arrows, but our helmet, Jesus, helps us reject these false lies from the enemy to stand firm. And number three, it enables us to remember that victory is actually already accomplished. With our helmet firmly buckled, we know that we get to live lives, live in the revelation that we are actually dead to sin and alive to God. Amen. Through Christ. Amen. Sin is still present, but actually it has zero power over us, zero dominion over us anymore. As we take up Jesus as our helmet of salvation every day, our minds become more insulated against the suggestions, the desires, the traps, and temptations that he lays for us. Jesus is our helmet of salvation. Amen. And number three, take up the sword of the Spirit. Jesus is our sword. The first thing that popped into my head, and I'm not musical at all, was the song, "I Speak Jesus." I want to say to us this morning, you know what? When we sing that song, we're actually not just singing lyrics on a screen, but we speak it about weaponry that is available to you and I. I think often we forget the incredible power that we have at our disposal in God's word. All the armor, all the other armor is protective, but this is offensive. It's designed for us. It's designed to strike, to demolish, to disarm. And yet so often, and I'm speaking to myself first and foremost, I choose to leave it in its sheath instead of bringing it out. John 1:1-2 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Skip down to verse 14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Deuteronomy 33:29 says, "Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their hearts." Our sword is the word of God. And we know that Jesus was the Word made flesh from the beautiful John scripture. He is the living Word of God. We know he's the double-edged, the active living that we get to take up and dispel darkness and the enemy's schemes. I know many of you would be going through the Freedom in Christ journey in your Connect group. And if you're not part of a Connect group, please, I'd love for you to join a Connect group. But one thing I'm learning through this Freedom in Christ journey is just the power at our disposal that when we get to actually declare things out aloud. And if you've done part 1, 2, or 3, you would know that at the end of every session, you get a couple of things, the 20 cans or whatever it might be. And it encourages you to speak these things out aloud in your Connect group. And initially, I must admit, I thought this was awkward and rather cheesy. But there is actually incredible power in doing so. And we've also learned from the Chad, who we just listened to, that cheesy is okay. It's corny. We have to avoid at all costs. But the reality is too many of us choose to leave that sword in its sheath, man. It's time for you and I, as the church, to declare God's goodness, his power, his authority, first and foremost, over our own lives. And no, it's not pompous to do so. It's time to declare his goodness, his authority, his power over your family's lives. It's time to declare his goodness, his authority, his power over your work life. Amen. And I want to add, it's time to declare it over our enemy as well. Amen. As Christians, we literally get to put on and we literally get to take up Jesus and then choose to live him out. Yeah. We are clothed in Jesus and who he is. This is, taking everything into context, this is the reason that you and I can sit here today as a son and as a daughter, more than just conquerors. Amen. Because we have clothed ourselves in Jesus. Jesus, our helmet of salvation, provides us with the confidence to know that our past, our present, and our future sins are completely forgiven in Christ. Does it give us a license to continuously sin? No. But what it does, we can be liberated knowing that when we do mess up, and we will mess up, that's just who we are. But actually, there is grace and there's mercy in Jesus because he has already paid for those sins. And so the enemy has no right to come and sow seeds of condemnation and lies into our minds anymore. Yeah. Jesus, our shield, is our faithful protective barrier between us and the attacks of the enemy. We get to daily trust that Jesus is far better than anything that the devil or the enemy will tempt us with. Jesus, our sword, is our weapon. We get to disarm the enemy with it, just as Jesus used the word of God when he was tempted in the wilderness. We too can put to death the schemes of the enemy. Our call to put on the armor of God is not done through religious activities or more religious things. Our call to put on the full armor of God is actually not done through our good works, but rather is choosing to clothe ourselves with Jesus daily, choosing to put him on daily. So this morning, I want to take a bit of a leaf out of the Freedom in Christ book and journey. And so won't you stand with me, and I want to land with a couple of declarations over us. And you don't have to declare them out aloud. Let's not make this super cheesy. But what I want to do is just begin to, I know the chap said that the longest journey for a Christian is sometimes between the head and the heart. And so I'm trusting that as we declare, as I declare these over you this morning, that God would expedite, that He would speed that journey up. And so what you've heard possibly this morning wouldn't just stay as head knowledge, but it would actually transfer down into heart knowledge and become revelation of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. May we choose to put on Christ daily by truly knowing Him through His Word. Not just more about Him. We don't need more information. We want more revelation, Jesus. May we choose to put on Christ daily by walking in and living out the righteousness that He has already earned for us. May we choose to put on Christ daily by placing our faith and trust in Him. His will, His ways. May we choose to put on Christ daily by trusting that He is better than what the world has to offer us. That He is truly a good, good Father. May we choose to put on Christ daily by finding rest in knowing that Jesus has given us peace with God and therefore given us the full assurance of salvation. Our revelation of Christ is our armor against the enemy. I pray this morning that we would all take a step towards gaining a greater revelation of Jesus so that we can stand and stand firm. Would you close your eyes? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your Word, Lord. Thank You that it's the truth. Thank You that as a son and as a daughter, as those who trust in You, Lord, that we will never be put to shame. And thank You, Father, that You are revealing Yourself more and more and more to us during this journey. And Lord, I pray that just as what we said earlier, that this information or this wouldn't just remain as information, but You would transfer it and transform it into revelation this morning. Thank You, Jesus, that You are our armor. Thank You that we get to choose, intentionally get to choose to put You on and take You up every single day. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that You are our shield. Thank You that You help us extinguish things. Thank You that You are our helmet. Thank You that our confident hope is in You now of our assured salvation. Amen. And thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus, that You are our sword. Thank You that we can pull You out of the sheath and use You. We don't want to keep You in our back pockets, as we say. But actually, Lord, we want to use You wisely to disarm the enemy. Thank You, Lord. We worship You this morning. Amen. We worship You, Lord. Thank You that first and foremost, You've called us into an incredible relationship with You. Maybe today you haven't actually decided that you would like to follow this Jesus that you've spoken about. There will be an opportunity. We'd love to introduce you to Jesus. We'd love to introduce you to our helmets, our shields, our sword this morning. And if that's you, won't you come to the front? I'd love to be praying with you. But please, we'd never want to miss an opportunity to introduce you to our armor. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that Your goodness follows us wherever we go, Lord Jesus. And thank You that You are God that loves His sons and daughters so incredibly much. We worship You this morning, Jesus. Amen.